Hallelujah.
Praise God. These are the days of Elijah, folks. If you understand anything about Elijah, the whole purpose of Elijah, Jesus said the Son of Man, or that Elijah would come before the Son of Man. And he said, I tell you, Elijah has come in John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist preach? Repentance. What did Elijah preach? Repentance. What are we preaching today? Repentance. The Son of Man is due to arrive. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. It is awesome to see everybody here today. I tell you what, it has just been one whirlwind of a week, hasn't it? We started out in freezing weather, end up with 60-degree weather, and now we're back down to freezing and supposed to get warm again. Praise God. God is a good God, and you know what? That's all I'm going to stand on. Amen. You don't have to elaborate on that, do we? God is good. Do you know that the word that we use for God is actually the word good? It's where it came from. It's good. Goodbye meant God be with you, is what it was. So in all of our, you know, everybody can say what they want, you know, in the world, God doesn't exist. Well, every time you say good, you are declaring God. And when you say goodbye, you're declaring God be with you. Now, I used to always have it wasn't a phobia or whatever, but it was just a habit. I wouldn't say goodbye. Because goodbye meant forever, right? I just said, see ya. Bye. So long. But, you know, and understanding that the word good and God are synonymous with each other, we can say goodbye. God be with you. Understanding where, it is hilarious to understand the origins of our phrases. And that people want to run around and say, God doesn't exist. Well, every time you tell me goodbye, you're declaring that God does exist. Always remember that. Praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you today for your great, great love, Father, that you are a good God. You do not abuse your children. You don't even abuse those who aren't claiming to be your children. Father, rather, you loved them. As a matter of fact, you loved them so much that you sent Jesus to die. Father, we pray that you help us to be a witness, a better witness to those around us. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, I pray that you bless them, shake them down together, cause our cups to overflow, Father, that we may not only have enough for us, but, Father, that we may go out and bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, praise God. You may be seated and super kids are dismissed. Well, praise God. I ran off this morning and forgot my glasses. So I'm preaching blind today. I actually had to have Carsey. I opened up my Bible. I knew the scripture I want to start with. I said, okay, I can make out the word, but I can't make out what Proverbs that's in. So she had to decipher my blindness. But praise God, I don't have to preach by sight. Amen. It's a good thing, too. We are living in some whacked out times. That's all I can say. They are weird, weird times. We're seeing evil men supposedly getting away with evil. We're seeing things happening that should not be happening. We're seeing people turn a blind eye to doing their jobs. And earlier this week, as I was debating on, you know, when I say debating, I was talking to God about what I should minister today. And there were several things that came up. And then last night, I mean, this was one of the things. I'm like, okay, God, I can go either way here. You just lock us in for me. Well, had an incident happen, and I said, okay, I know exactly where we're going. We're going to talk about training up our children. I know I've taught on this before, and I know instantly as soon as I say that, everybody thinks, he's going to talk about beating our kids. Listen, I'm going to hit on this real quick about spanking. Okay? Most of you have been here, you heard me talk about this. When you spank a child, you should never do it out of anger. If you are angry, walk away. You will abuse your child. A spanking is controlled. It is not, let's see how many, I'm going to wear this. How many ever, I know my generation and down heard this. I'm going to wear this switch out on you. And there was a couple times I'm pretty sure it happened. And the truth of the matter is, that is not proper discipline. Because typically, I'll be honest with you, the only thing I learned by that was don't get caught. I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't stop me. And after a while, I was like, yeah, I can take a beating all day long. As a matter of fact, I'd go to the principal, hey, I don't want to serve this detention. I lived at that point 10 miles one way from the school. Like, I really don't want to serve this detention. We got one vehicle and my dad's at work. So I either hang around here until he can pick me up on the way home, or I got to walk 10 miles home. I said, I'll take the beating. I had one teacher, he was thrilled. He was thrilled with that option. He was the one who'd always walk around to school. Boy, I get hold of you, I'm going to get hold of you, I'm going to knock you through that wall. I'm sure there's a few of you guys out here who heard that in school. Well, he lit me up, and I stood here and thought, my mama hits harder than that. I didn't tell him that. I didn't need another detention. Or another excuse to give me another swat. But if we'll open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22, I'm going to read it off of here again today. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we vaguely talked real quick there about spanking. Spanking has its place. Do not get me wrong. I have spanked my children. And there were a couple times I realized I may have been crossing a line. And I thank God for his grace and his mercy in that. But once I got hold of that, I did not cross the line again. Even though there had been a couple times the screaming that was going on, you would have thought I was killing my middle son. Truth of the matter is, we had just got to the kitchen. We hadn't even got the paddle out yet. And then I think there was one day that the paddle actually broke, and it wasn't even a good swat, and the paddle goes flying across the thing, and it clams the wall, and Joshua and Angela come running in to see if I'd killed him. And I said, no, I'm actually standing there laughing at this point. I'm like, the paddle broke. It's over there. And but the Bible tells us, if we spare the rod, we spoil the child, right? That is the absolute truth. You can tell children who received proper discipline. It also says if you beat your child, they will not die from it. I think that is probably the worst English word we could put there. Because if we understand anything about the discipline that God gives us as believers, he does not just pull out a board and just start beating us about the head, does he? But yet, there have been many times that's what happens, and people call it discipline. That is not discipline. That's child abuse. And unfortunately, the church has gotten it in their head that this is what should be taught. This is, we just beat them, we just beat them. Beat them, beat them, beat them, beat them. Like I said, after a certain point in my life, I was like, man, you can beat me all day long if you want. It meant nothing. And since I, you know, didn't have a car, didn't have a life or anything, well, ground me if you want. It means nothing to me. I ain't got a life. But the truth of the matter is, if we will understand the discipline that God brings into our life, we will understand this, that God finds the most effective way to get our attention. He doesn't kill people to get our attention. I want you to understand that right now. He does not give you cancer to get your attention. He doesn't make you sick to get your attention. Will you get sick? Anybody in here who has not gotten sick, please raise your hand. Good. I have a truthful group of people. We get sick. We have bodies. They are natural bodies. There are natural born things in this world now, that germs and such, that we get. And there are certain things you cannot do and think, well, it's not going to affect me. And then when it does, you can't sit there and say, well, you know, I never knew that. I think it's hilarious now that if you've seen TV, you've seen the commercials where they're advertising now that first off, they say that due to a court order, R.J. Reynolds and these other cigarette companies are now being made to advertise on TV the dangers of smoking cigarettes. Anybody else seen those? Okay. I believed the Surgeon General back when they put it on the package of cigarettes. And to be honest with you, if intaking something causes you to cough, that should have been the first clue. Your body's not designed to do that. It's not a good idea. So God doesn't bring that stuff on us as discipline. God uses other things to get our attention. But with our children, Proverbs 22:6 tells us to train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Train. It is a constant thing all the time. No matter what you're doing, you're training your child. You know, with all of my boys, there was especially after the first one, we knew, okay, here comes this stage is going to happen. There are some good books, folks, that you can read as far as your child development. What to expect when you're expecting, and in other books. So many people are just so whacked out about, well, you know, my child's different, my child's special. Well, your child probably is special, but not unique. Your child is just like every other child. They're going to make stupid decisions. Well, my child doesn't do that. That's a hilarious thought. But the truth of the matter is, our children are all alike. I don't care who they are, where you kept them, they're all alike. Now, here's the first thing that I remember hearing as a child when we started getting in church and we started hearing about spanking your children. You got to break their will. You got to break their will. Nowhere does it say you need to break a child's will. You do not break a child's spirit. If God wanted robots, he would have created robots. The great thing about us is we can think. We have the option to accept Jesus Christ or deny Jesus Christ. That's all there is to this. And so the church for so many years has taught, you know, you got to beat your child, got to beat your child. And, you know, be hard, be hard, be hard. At what point does it stop? And you realize, God doesn't do that to me. If we pay attention to the parables, especially the prodigal son, and we shouldn't even call it that. I heard somebody talk about that the other day. Why do we call it the prodigal son? It was the living. It was something that he did that defined him. How many of you want to be defined by what you've done? I don't see any hands volunteering. The only thing I've ever done in my past that I want to be identified is Marine. Now, not everything I did during that time period was good. But that's one of those things I'm okay with being identified. But let's just stay away from all the other things. Nobody wants to be identified by that. But in that parable of this son, the only thing that I see is God's everlasting love and mercy for his children. And so when we read up how to train up our child, the first thing, it's every day. Everything you do is training your child. Your habits, the way you love his mama or the way you love his papa. Those are training up your child in the way they should go. I know some of you have had some really bad relationships, okay? And you've heard me say, I'm not here to throw guilt on you in those relationships. I personally know people that, well, we just didn't get along. Well, my wife and I don't get along every day either. And anybody that does, I'd like to know exactly what kind of medication you're on. Because you're not living in the real world. We are two different people with two different viewpoints. She might think I'm too strict on something. And I might think she's a little too strict on something. Or vice versa. Or in a lot of different things. But our training goes every day. How we treat people in the stores. How we treat people at the bank. How we treat people that come to do work at our place. That is what people, they will see. And I want to tell you something. They will mimic. And just those of you that are sitting there say, well, I'll never act like my father. Oh, yes, you do. I am reminded time and time again, my sister and my wife and, you know, everybody say, you're acting just like your dad. And it's if it's not a good thing, that's when they'll do it. It's like, you know that's not. I'm like, I know. And I see it. I saw it before you even said it. So I work on trying to change those things that are not good. My dad's a good man, I know. Not everything he did was great. I'm a good man. Not everything I've done has been the greatest. And that's where we fall onto God's mercy. So you will act just like your parents, regardless of what you think. You can run to the other side of the world and you will still act like your parents. Because it's what you saw, it's how you were trained, it's how you were raised up. I'll run this real quick back to this. I know Marine Corps stuff shows up quite often. I would never have known how to be a Marine if I hadn't seen Marines. The first Marine in my life was a recruiter. Unfortunately, he was a liar. As all recruiters are. But one thing I do remember, it was him standing there in his dress blues. And we were in the hallway. We were waiting in line for something, and we were all just talking. And all of a sudden, man, we hear words coming down the hall, and he's like, get off the wall. I don't know if you remember anybody just standing there. Because if any other senior Marine would came up and say, what are you doing, holding up the wall? Wall can't hold itself up. It needs you to hold the wall up. They wanted to avoid that. So they would make sure they were standing at parade rest or something. Marines didn't put their hands in their pockets either. And that was my first exposure to Marines. And then I went to boot camp. My drill instructors squared away. I mean, in my opinion, they blew the recruiter away. They were sharp. They were hardcore all the time. I learned a lot from them. And what I learned for me was confidence. And then got out in the fleet later and, you know, became my own Marine. And I remember when people started looking up to me and I'm realizing I have to act more Marine-like. Well, when I became a father, I realized I have to actually start acting more like a father. But it didn't mean I had to quit acting like a man. Men are going to do stupid things. It's in our nature. We're going to do it. Especially the more you tell us we can't do it. So when you tell a child that you can't do this, and then you go and do it, what are you training your child to do? To go and do it. I watched a movie last night, whether you like action or not. It's called The Last Boy Scout. Some of you have seen it. It's a Bruce Willis movie from long ago when Bruce had hair. Lots of hair. And in it, though, his daughter, his marriage relationship was bad, but his daughter was acting out. And she just cussed him out one side and down the other. And he's trying to correct her. You don't use that kind of language. The problem with that was he had just cussed her out using the exact same words. And so what you're doing is you're training your children to be disrespectful in that. I've always lived by the adage that first off, if you want respect, you have to earn it. Just because I got older, just because whatever happened, my rank, my position, whatever, I knew I still actually needed to earn the respect of my Marines. I still had to earn the respect of the people around me. Now, I try to train my boys up that you automatically respect your parents, your grandparents. But folks, I'm telling you, there comes a point when we actually have to earn that respect and show them that we deserve it. We can't sit here and say, well, you know, I'm going to cuss you out, and then when you turn around and cuss me out, yell at them. Threaten them with death, whatever. You can't do that. You're not training them to do anything good. You're training them to be a hypocrite. That is exactly what a hypocrite is. The word hypocrite actually comes from the word that means to be an actor. That's what the Greeks used for actors. And ladies, they didn't have women actors back then. It was dudes dressed up as ladies. Dude looked like a lady. I bet you they didn't do too many love scenes. At least I hope not. So you got somebody on stage that looks like a woman, and then all of a sudden you're not a woman. You're not even that. You're something entirely different. That's where they got the word hypocrite from. Unfortunately, they're throwing it at the church today, left and right. And not rightfully so in every area. Not everybody's a hypocrite. Which is why we need, as Jesus said, judge ourselves. We need to be on top of that. And as parents, as grandparents, I know a lot of us in here are in a lot of different roles. We have got to be on top of that. And even as children, we have to understand sometimes things got out of their control. I look back, well, there's a few things got out of control, and I just didn't have a whole lot of mercy in that. And then realize, as I became a father, well, some things got out of my control, and I couldn't control it. I mean, as parents, we want to control everything, don't we? I want to control the temperature of your room. I try, and they keep cranking it up. That's what I get for putting a heater that's controlled in their room alone. I've threatened to turn the breaker off, but it gets cold. I'd rather pay a little higher electric bill than have my children freeze. But our integrity, our character, that's where they learn that from. Many people in my generation, we're raising the kids now that are eating Tide Pods. It's my generation, it's the parents, mine and just a hair below me. Who in their right mind thought that was a good idea? But see, what happened is we got to keep pushing the limits. Push it, right? That's pretty much what the 80s taught us. Let's just keep pushing. We got people doing some insanely ignorant stunts, putting them on TV. And then when they go really bad and they're wondering why they can't have children or why they can't walk and they're 25, well, they weren't trained properly. I remember when I was little, my dad, we lived in Cleveland at the time, had this huge maple tree in the backyard. I was about 3. My dad was a lineman, so he had his hooks and he had his safety belt and all that stuff. And I remember he put me in, he called it a nose bag. If you're a lineman, work with electric, you know what I'm talking about. It looks like a bag you put feet in and put on a horse. But he carried all of his heavy tools in it. And he would put me in that bag. I was that small. He would put me in that bag. He'd climb that tree. And I remember thinking, looking back, I'm thinking, Dad, were you nuts? But he taught me to climb trees at 3. So it was no surprise that when we moved out of Cleveland, and I moved over, actually it was Rob's grandfather's right next door to his grandpa. And they had these little pine trees they had planted all around this property for privacy. And I remember they were building the house next door and how fascinated I was. And I'd climb up in that pine tree. The thing was probably only this tall at the time. But I climbed up in there and remember getting out. That's my first experience with sap. But I remember climbing that tree and how big I felt that I climbed that tree because my dad taught me how to climb trees. Well, that was the last. I've climbed trees and climbed trees, fell out of a few trees, climbed trees. I've learned and done things that my dad showed me. I learned by watching him. Our children learn and are trained more by what we do than what we say. If you disrespect God, they will disrespect God. If you disrespect our country, they will disrespect our country. It doesn't matter if you agree with the party in power right now. It does not matter if you like the president or not. He's still the president. That's all there is to it. Do I think we need changes across the board? You better believe it, like a dirty diaper. But we're teaching our children now. It started in the 60s when our veterans were coming home. And they called them baby killers. These were the same people that really, honestly wanted the war. Remember? They pushed. Yeah, some of you remember. I mean, we got people that were there. They were not treated well. And all the way up through it, and I was about 20 years after them, and we weren't treated well. It wasn't until this last war that the military actually started getting some respect. But now we've got people that think it's okay to protest brutalities that are going on, have absolutely nothing to do with the nation, to disrespect our national anthem, stand on our flag, burn our flag. My drill instructors taught me, said, you know, it may be their right to burn our flag, but it is our right to put out a fire in a public place. And how you put that fire out is in, they haven't said. And if you know anything about Marines, if we can cause a few bumps, bruises, broken bones, or blood, we're happy. But if we teach our children to disrespect our country, we will not have a country that is divided. We will fall. Burning the flag does not protest the country. It disrespects the people who have paid the price. We teach our children to disrespect the cops. And yet, as close as Westerville, we lost two police officers in the line of duty. Honestly, this man should have been behind bars a long time ago. But he was ignored. We now fear for our children in school. I don't. We pray. My children pray over the family every day. And I trust God that if you can't protect them, there ain't nothing I can do. So I trust God to protect my children. But let me point it out to you this way, folks. That young man who did this plotted this out. I don't know his association with his family, but I can almost promise you, and I'm going to make a wide assumption here, that he was a loner. He played extremely violent, non-caring video games that taught people to just to kill for the sake of killing. I can say we're desensitized to it. The truth of the matter is we really are. We think it's funny to beat somebody up. I mean, seriously, we've got, they call them fight clubs. You go and beat your best friend up. I never would have thought of beating my best friend up. One of my friends, and I'd graduated, he was a senior, we had a pair of boxing gloves. He wanted to go out and spar. And I said, man, I really don't want, oh, come on. So I went up with, we went out in the yard, and I said, no shots to the head. I'm not good to taking shots to the head. I don't know how many times It's probably from concussions earlier, looking back. But I don't do well with them. And we're just body shots. And he all of a sudden just hauls off and hits me right in the nose. I didn't react well. I caught him with a left hook. He said, "I'm done." I said, "I told you not to hit me in the head." But you see, just like that, he was just messing around. And I know him. He's unfortunately passed away. But just like that, they have fight clubs that you beat up people for no reason, just to fight. If you want to fight, put on the gloves, get in a ring, and let it be regulated. But that's not tough enough, not macho enough anymore. As a matter of fact, today we've built up on machoism. If you know you aren't wearing, you don't stink, like you haven't bathed for 3 or 4 days, and wearing the same jeans all week, and got a leather vest cut out, and you know, you just look nasty, that you're not a man. Listen, men come in all different likes and shapes and colors and sizes. The measure of a man is not what he looks like on the outside. It's what's inside. That makes up the measure of the man. I watched a video. I can't remember who it was. They were pulling jokes, but these guys came bursting through the ceiling. I do remember now. They came bursting through the ceiling like they were robbing this diamond place. And this, the biggest dude in there, got up and he was out of the building and running down the road before they actually hit the ground. They got it on their camera. He's like, "Man, I just didn't know what." And yet the old guys, the little pencil-shaped guys, they're just thin. They just stood right there and looked at him. They didn't run. Two for flinching. Y'all remember playing that stupid game? Of course I'm going to flinch. You tried to hit me. So what did we all do? We tried not to flinch. We tried not to be on our defenses, thinking that made us macho. Truth of the matter, that didn't make us macho. You know what makes us macho, men? Loving our children's mother through it all. That's what makes us macho. Standing up for our family, that's what makes us macho. It ain't got nothing to do with the clothes you like to wear. I heard one man tearing other men down because they like to wear, they weren't short pants, they were, what do they, women call them capris, but there's a style for men. I like them. We called them clam diggers in the 80s. Or jams. Telling on myself a little bit here. But I liked them. If I honestly could, I'd wear shorts all the time. Bermuda would be a good place for me. Except for the storms. But just because you like to wear short pants doesn't make you any less of a man than a guy who never will. That's just a personal opinion. Whether you can grow a beard in 2 days doesn't make you any more of a man than anybody else. Because some of the men that I've met, this is some of this is some of the building blocks in their mindset of what makes a man. When it boils down to it, mama's still telling the horse where to go. And he's thinking he's telling the other way around. The truth of the matter is, folks, we all know this. Marriage is an equal part. If only one of you is pulling, the other one's getting a little lazy. You both need to be pulling. Like I said, I know there's things. I'm not condemning anybody in bad situations. I know a lot of people have left their spouses, and the church said, "Well, you know, just because your husband was beating you doesn't mean you got a right to divorce. It only said sex." Let me put it this way. If your husband's beating you, can I have his name and number? And his location, he won't beat you again. I've seen it. I've seen women do that, put up with it. That is not right. And that is not the measure of a man either. But, because we train up our children, little Johnny sees dad do it. He carries that on. Is that really something we want to carry on? Flying off with a temper. That's carried on. Listen, well, I'm a redhead. You know, we got tempers. Hogwash. Redhead, schmedhead. You know how many redheads are in my family on both sides? And they don't have tempers like that. There's a couple further away that think that just they use it as an excuse. Truth of the matter is, you got a bad temper. Fix it. That's one of the things the Bible speaks against. Lying. Cheating, stealing. Last night we had a disheartening evening. Justin is playing in tournaments in basketball, and their season, they went 16-2. They beat every team that came against them that was undefeated, they beat. And then last night we got beat by a team in tournaments that we had beaten twice. We should have won, but we didn't. So we were just a little heartbroken about that. We're just trying to bite our tongue, and the Lord just kept telling me, just keep your mouth shut. Because, you know, I viewed my opinions later to Angela, and I said, why? But I wasn't calling the shots. But here's where I got my opportunity to walk as a man. We went out to the car, or to the truck, and Justin got in the back and she got in the passenger seat, and I'm driving out, and you know, and there's a lot of people trying to get out of there. It's dark, and that parking lot really needs to be remarked. It's the one where the swimming pool is. I don't know what they measured for cars. Maybe they measured Kias or something, but they are not made for pickup trucks. That is a tight spot. And I was still pulling through, and I was aimed out, and I started pulling out. Well, these couple ladies walked out in front of me, so I just turned the wheel a little bit to not hit them. You know, I don't think that would go over real well. Local pastor hits pedestrians in parking lot. Unfortunately, I hit a white Honda with my new truck. That's exactly what I thought, too. I'm like, no! Instantly, though, my mind went to, there goes my accident-free discount again. I just got that thing back. We'll find out how USAA does. That's who I switched over to, so I heard they're pretty good. So, but anyhow, I'm sitting there, the lady behind me, she had to have been within inches of my hitch. She was trying to come out with me, and another guy tried to cut me off on the other side, which I honked my horn at him. And the other car decided to finally back out and get out of the way. And I walked around and looked, and I put a little dent in the left front fender. Unfortunately, I have an idea about what it probably will cost. Probably around $2,500. Definitely ain't paying for it, because I got to fix my truck, too. And anyhow, I'm not in a good mood. You know, bad mood went really south in a heartbeat. I went in, tried to find the owner of this white Honda. Well, they don't have a PA system. They ain't going to stop the game for me to find an owner of a car. I just put a little dent in the fender. So I left. Filling out my information, you know, not real happy about it, my phone number and all that stuff. I'm like, I ain't got nothing. It's snowing. It's wet snow. I said, this is going to blur before they get out. And Angela comes up with this little Ziploc bag. I don't know where she came up with that thing at. But in my mind, folks, I got to tell you what took place. You heard that old song by Carmen. He said, he was talking about going to the beach and all the women in bikinis. He said, my flesh and spirit had a race and the devil went full throttle. The devil went full throttle because everybody in the parking lot that had witnessed it left. It's dark. Looked around. My boy's in the back seat, and that's not who I am. I wrote the information down, gave him my phone number, and stuck it in their windshield. Ain't heard from them yet, so. mean, I know I would be calling. I don't know about you. But I pointed that out, not to draw attention to how good I am, just to let you know, the thought crossed my mind. Oh, you're an evil man. You need to understand something. If you're not tempted, you aren't a human being. The Bible says Jesus Christ was tempted in every way we could ever be tempted. Somewhere along the line, he parked his donkey. His donkey kicked another donkey. He had to leave his insurance information or just walk away, right? I mean, Jesus' donkey was new. Nobody had even broke the leather in yet. He had to be tempted in that. I'm not going to lie. I went to bed probably around 3 o'clock, finally getting to sleep. And then I woke up, and you know what's the first thing on my mind? That stupid white Honda. But you know what, folks? As Angela said, that's what insurance is for. But folks, our children are trained by what we do. Nobody else was looking at that point except somebody who mattered. Because the second that I walked away from that and said, oh, it don't matter. I mean, I got dents in my other truck. I have no idea where they came from. I asked Jesse and Joshua, I said, did you guys hit my truck with something? No, we didn't hit the truck. Well, man, somebody did. There's a big dent in the door now. Yeah, you know, it's not what my Bible teaches me, is it? It doesn't say do unto others as you've been done unto. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so it became very vital at that point that I start checking my attitude. And so I closed down. I'm not going to lie. It was the best thing to happen. I just needed to bring all that in and watch some gunplay and things blowing up. But in all that, it is what it is. But at least I now know that the most important person on this planet saw me do the right thing. I ain't always done the right thing. Ain't nobody ever always done the right thing. Oh, it's just a little scratch. Still a scratch. Still just a little dent. And as thin as they make metal in these cars today, you can sneeze and probably dent them. That's how I know they'll replace the fender. Because it can't be pounded back out where it's at. But you know, it's going to be all right. Even after the loss last night, you know, and that's exactly what people do. I know the coaches just went home frustrated. I know they were because I got to talk to one a little bit later while I was looking for the owner of this car. He was still frustrated. Didn't have anything nice to think about the other team. But the truth of the matter is, we did not play our game. That's just all there is to it. And maybe 3 games in 1 day is a little too much. But folks, when your family gathers around your casket or your picture, however you choose to be, when they gather around, are they going to say, boy, that was the cheatinest, lionest, dirtiest son of a gun I ever knew? Or are they going to say, you know, when mom or when dad, I'll use throw myself, when dad had the opportunity to just let it slide and get away from it scot-free, he took the high road. Is that what they're going to say about us? Is that what they're going to say about you? Did my dad and my mom stand up for what was right? Even though it wasn't popular. Standing up for the police today is not popular. I don't stand up for them. I stand up in front of them. I stand with this country. You can ask my boys. They know where I stand. When it boils down, they know where I'll be. Standing for what is right. Now, I believe in saying, hey, you know what? We got some things to fix. Let's fix them. That's why my job is to teach you. You are the church. There's things wrong in the organism of the organized church that have nothing to do with God. They were brought about so that men could get away with things. My job is to teach you to be a better person. When you walk out of here, I hope today you at least got something out of it. Like I said, I'm not bragging on myself because I can tell you, for that one story, I can probably tell you 100 that I didn't do the right thing. Maybe walking into somebody's mirror, that was not all my fault. They need to make the parking spaces wider. Just saying. And the concussion I may have gotten from it. Or, you know, when I took my pocket knife out at Cedar Point and I thought, I'm going to be a good Christian for Jesus and I'm going to write, I love Jesus, carve it into the steel of Cedar Point's bathroom stall. You know, I've since matured and realized, what on earth was I doing? I thought I was doing God a favor. And the truth of the matter is, I wasn't. It made me think of this the other day. I was at Home Depot and right there across the only graffiti on it, Jesus. Do you think Jesus went around carving his name into the stall doors? No. So why do we think it's okay? And by the way, I will throw this. I'm going to throw it out here again. If you're one of those that hands out tracts, they can be great. Don't leave them in the bathroom. It's not a good place. Nobody's going to pick up a book that talks about Jesus that's been sitting on a toilet. That's just wrong. All I'm saying, think about it. You want to know the greatest way to spread the gospel? This is how Jesus figured this out. He told his to people that just got a miracle, he said, don't go tell anybody. Isn't that what he said? Don't go tell anybody. Just go home. Man, Jesus got sworn before he got home. Why? Because they didn't listen. A legitimate miracle had taken place. Jesus found the fastest way to get the good news out. Do legitimate work and tell them to tell no one. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if you were crippled and you were born crippled or you were blind and suddenly you can see, you aren't going to keep your mouth quiet. That's just all there is to it. And Jesus knew that. He didn't tell them so they'd have something to disobey him by. He told them so that they could go and tell other people the truth. God's not finished with this body. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. Hallelujah. My wife, my family missed a good opportunity to shout amen. But in the end, folks, we're going to be judged by the life we led. Well, Jesus, you know, you've read the stories. Jesus, we held miracle crusades for you. Yeah, but you didn't know me. You didn't do that for me. You did it for you. And then the people that I sent to you, you turned them away because they didn't shower or they didn't look right. You know, I saw a picture the other day. And it was of the Pope. And he was kissing this guy's forehead. What it was he had, but it abnormally affected the size of his head, and it was just covered with large bumps all over. And he leaned down and kissed that man's forehead. I've met preachers, you couldn't get them to shake his hand. And yet this man had compassion in that area. My hat's off to him. See, we want to go out and we want to lead the people on TV to Jesus Christ. Yeah, praise God, they need Jesus too. We all need Jesus. As a matter of fact, it is God's will. If you ever wonder, is it God's will for all mankind to be saved? Yes, it is. It's why he said he is not willing that any should perish. But here's the thing. We have to love the unlovable. Whether they look the wrong part, whether they rub us the wrong way. We all got a few of those people in our lives. Maybe you're the person in everybody's life who rubs everybody the wrong way. But we have to love them in spite of all that. Don't let the outward appearance of somebody push you away. Because I'm telling you, folks, I've met some people, they looked the part, they smelled the part. Boy, they were awful. And then I've met people that didn't have two nickels rubbed together. They'd give you the shirt off of their back. And that's usually the way it goes. Your children will see that. Your grandchildren will see that. Your children will take a notice whether you stand for the national anthem at the tractor pulls. They'll notice whether you took your hat off. I never made my children stand at the position of attention. I don't know, are they still teaching that, Sean? Marines stand at the position of attention, whether you're in uniform or not. Now, if you're in uniform, you're covered, you salute. But in civilian attire, we just stand at a position of attention because that is the greatest honor. But we have people that don't understand what that flag means. I understand our history is checkered at best. Okay? Find me a country that's not. Especially when you bring people from all of those countries together. You find me people that can get along and do everything right. It's not going to happen. We're making the best out of this thing that we can. But your children will respond in like manner. If all you ever talk about, man, that dirty popo, all cops are bad, all cops are bad. All you're doing is inbreeding into them the idea. And teachers, they are all bad, they are all bad. I'm doing this because we got teachers sitting here. And they've probably heard it. I mean, I know Joe Becker shaking his head, yes, he's been around it. Or the coaches. We're teaching our children today not to respect any figure of authority, period. I've told my boys, I said, you go, and if you back off mouth to your coach, forget what the coach is going to do to you. I control your life. It's going to be miserable. But what I've never been told that by any of the coaches. And my children always do what the coaches say and never what I'd say. But that's why God put them in their lives. Because sometimes it takes somebody else. It's why we have Sunday school teachers. It's why we have youth leaders. Mom and dad, we want to be their best buds. First off, you're not their best bud. You are their parent. Act like it. Sometimes it means you got to put on your jerk hat and say, guess what? Buck up, princess. That's my favorite for my boys, princess. Oh, wow, that's so sexist. You're just demeaning your boys. Trust me, I'm a man and it works. But we cannot ignore what's going on in this world. This whole shooting could have been avoided. And I'm not just talking about the FBI's botching of it. I'm talking about the home life. Oh, well, you know, there's no harm coming from these video games. Seriously? I like this meme I've seen on Facebook. In my day, the parking lot was full of pickup trucks with shotguns and rifles in the racks and not one school shooting. Not one. One of my friends, he was just a few lockers down, brought a .357 to school to show it off. He didn't bring it to school to shoot anybody. Now, it was stupid. I'm not going to lie. He knew darn well they were going to escort him out of there real quick. But he didn't go flashing around. Hey, guys, look. He's just like, hey, look, see, I told you I had one. But you didn't have to bring it to school. But here, I'm going to hit this real quick. Here, we're worried about the guns killing all of our children. And I like this other one, too. It says, you know, we protect money in a bank with armed guards, but yet the most precious thing on this planet, we think a sign that says no guns is going to protect them. I'm all for select teachers carrying. I'm all for it. You may not be one of them that wants to carry. I know teachers that have carries. They're not allowed to take them in school. But here's what I really wanted to point out. My gun has killed nobody. Not one person. But that cigarette, that chew, I've got family members who are in their graves because of them. And yet I walk in and there's teachers in the school with it in their mouth. They step outside the doors and they smoke their cigarettes. Last time I checked, that's property-wise, right? You're not allowed to have it on the property. And yet, there it is. More people have died from that than school shootings. And they don't even talk about it. It's a rite of passage. Seriously? I'm sorry. It's a hypocrisy. And it is a part of what's going on to try to make us defenseless. I don't know about you, but I will not be goose-stepping it around saying heil anything. I've taught my sons to stand up for what's right. I hope you've taught yours. I know many of you. You've taught your children to stand for what's right. Oh, but I still worry. Stop worrying. I've said it before. There ain't a thing you can do by worrying. I know that was one of the things my parents had the hardest time getting. My grandmother's a worry wart. She didn't speak to my mom for 3 weeks. Wasn't their choice. Oh, but I'm just so scared. Of what? I might get killed? Yeah, it happened a couple times. I wasn't even in combat. God protected me. You know, I think God took me down those paths, let all that stuff happen, just so he could show me, I can take care of you and I can take care of your children. You just do what I said. And you know what? God is. Because they've told me some of the stories of stuff they've done. But we're to train up our children by being a better example. If you love people, it'll show out. If all what you're doing is for yourself, they aren't going to care about people. I want my children to care about people. And I know that, honestly, that as they grow and they become their own men, they have to work out their own way of coming to us. I had to. I wasn't raised up to honor the military, the police. It just wasn't there. The Pledge of Allegiance, it did because we had to in school. National anthem? Oh, please, come on. They're playing that song again? The truth of the matter is, folks, we have to experience our own to grow up. Your children will too. You guys got a handful of them. They'll grow up right. You keep training them now. Now, just don't let Papaw have too much influence. I'm just teasing. He's a good man. I can say that. But the truth is, folks, we have the opportunity to change the direction of this country and it's your kids may not be little right now. They may be older. You're still their parent. Yeah, he's 22 years old. I'm still his daddy. I may not be able to boss him around anymore, but I can still speak into his life. He just changed one boss for another. Never mind. All right, let's stand. If anything out of this, folks, I hope you realize and you can help others understand, spanking is not abuse. It's controlled. And if it's not working, shift your method. I got one, like I said, I got one son. We'd swat him. He turned around and said, oh, that wasn't bad. Well, that didn't get the point across. However, I know what gets the point across now. And he hates it. Angela, when she's growing up, she remembers one spanking from her dad. One. Our youngest, Justin, is a lot like her. Not that he only got one spanking from me, but that the words, they feared the face more than they feared the paddle. If it works, it works. But and spanking your children is not to break their spirit or their will. It's to correct that. And I'm going to say this real quick. Spanking is not is not to be used for anything other than to correct rebellious inefficiencies or defects. Your kid makes some bad grades and you're going to beat them? That's stupid. Yes, I do throw words around it. I know some of you teach your children not to say. But that is the definition of it. If your child lied, then you got something to stand on. If they're getting bad grades, there's a reason. There's a reason they're getting the bad grades. Sit down and talk to them and find out. Maybe they're in over their head in something. Or maybe there's other things going on. Your grades are kind of an indicator of what's happening. And second, be the most godly person you can be. Second, third, fourth, whatever it was. Be the most godly person that you can be. Not religious, godly. Big difference between religion and being godly. Amen? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord God, I thank you that your word corrects us. It leads us and guides us, Father. And Father, that we would all actually understand you more as a loving Father than the angry God who's waiting to spank us. Father, I pray now, starting with me, Lord, open my eyes to your gentle correction, to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Even in stupid moments when I know I should just wait, and I've moved on and then have to deal with the consequences later. Father, I pray for each and every person in here today, Lord. I know everybody has their own battles, their own struggles, things they're looking at, things that they're trying to get through, Father. I pray that you help them, speak to them through your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I thank you and praise you that you're moving in their lives mightily and victoriously, Father. That each and every day they feel stronger and they get more clarification in Jesus' name. Amen.